You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Jenny Taft. I'm here to tell you about an exciting event taking place this Monday, January 13th, in conjunction with the College Football National Championship game. Join Fox Sports college football analysts Joel Klatt and Reggie Bush, plus rules analyst Mike Pereira on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube as they watch the game live with you, commenting on all the action between Joe Burrow and LSU and Trevor Lawrence and the Clemson Tigers. And honestly, guys, here's my thing. I wanted to see Ohio State in this one, but I think LSU, Joe Burrow, I think they win this one. I think this has been a storybook year and season for Joe Burrow. I'm going with LSU. Fox Sports National Championship live stream watch party kicks off at game time this Monday, January 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern. The watch party will feature special guests, unique segments, a halftime breakdown, and many other surprises. Be sure to follow at CFB on Fox on Twitter and Facebook and subscribe to CFB on Fox and the Fox Sports channels on YouTube, where you can tune in to join the watch party. The event will be streaming live on all platforms beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern on Monday, January 13th. See you there. Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
All right, guys, breaking news this morning. RJ Glazer is reporting that the Cowboys have found their coach to replace Jason Garrett. Didn't take long. Dallas will be hiring Mike McCarthy, the former Packers coach, to lead the team next season. And we're now joined by former Cowboy Orlando Scandrick. Good to have you today.
Thanks for having me.
Boy, breaking news.
Thanks.
What are you doing?
Congratulations.
Not yet. No, no, for what? We missed the playoffs. Thank you.
He's over there hating on the slide.
It's another team that's going to be watching the next round from the same place.
That is true.
You're a hater.
What is your reaction to this?
I just call it how I see it.
Seriously.
I don't know. To be determined with Mike.
Okay.
I need to see how he formulates his staff.
Yeah.
I need to see. The situation seems very, very similar to me. Wade gets fired. You know, Jerry puts in another guy that is the voice of the team, but then he surrounds him with other guys that have potential to be young and up-and-coming coaches. If he forces him to keep Kellen
Moore
as an OC, but lets him be play caller, he keeps John Kitna as a quarterback coach, and miraculously, Jason Witten finds his way on the staff. Then we know what time it is. But, I mean, I need to see the staff first, and I need to see what's going on with my quarterback. It can go either way with...
Okay, just... evaluate Mike McCarthy in and of himself. If you were still in that locker room, would you be excited?
I mean, I would, because it's a new voice, and I mean, his track record is proven. But then when you sit back and you really look at it and you really dive deep into it, for all 13 seasons, he had one Hall of Fame quarterback and another Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
And then when he didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback and he had those other guys, his record was kind of...
When no kind of was... Yeah. He was terrible.
Yeah. But I mean, we'll see. We will see.
Well, the staff is going to be interesting. I'm anxious to see his defensive staff, because offense, it don't matter who sits on the staff, he's supposed to be an offensive genius. That's supposed to be his expertise, Skip. So now I want to transfer that and see what you do on the defensive side of the football. It's going to be interesting to see. Like you said, Skip, I mean, he only had Brett for 2 years, but the bulk of his tenure is going to be identified as with Aaron Rodgers. What did you do when you had a historically all-time great quarterback? You only got to one Super Bowl. And a lot of people will say that's a failure.
I don't think so. Super Bowl is, they come far and few between. Mm-hmm. Not only did he get to one Super Bowl, he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm saying, but when you have a guys like that, the only guy I can think of, I mean, Dan got the one and then never got back.
Dan Reeves?
Dan Marino. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dan Marino.
Dan Marino.
I'm sorry,
Dan been four times because he had three with the Broncos and one with Atlanta. Yeah. And I just think that people think, when they look at Aaron Rodgers, they put him, say, he's a top five, top six quarterback of all time.
Correct.
And they feel that they should have gotten more opportunities to get to Super Bowls mm-hmm. than the one time that they got there and they did win it. So that's going to be very interesting. I think they have a very good young and up-and-coming team. They got skill positions at the yin-yang. I believe Jarwin should start at tight end.
I'll buy that.
On from Jason Witten.
I think he's going to be a coach. He says he wants mm-hmm. to coach.
Let him coach. Let him coach, but he don't mm-hmm. need to be catching passes.
But I don't know how they got talent up to yin-yang when they don't got a quarterback with a contract and they got a number one receiver without a contract.
Well, he ain't gonna
and
win.
I don't know people that work without contracts.
Well, they got a number one corner without a contract.
Hmm. Oh, he history.
You think
he's,
so?
He's gone.
Yeah. Byron
I think
Jones
they, I don't
gone?
Think they can afford him. Well, I think that's a luxury.
Somebody's
got to
play that position.
It's a luxury at this point.
You saw what Peter's got. So that's the going rate. Yeah.
14, 15 million. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to say 16, 17, 18 million for Cooper.
So are you Anthony Brown is your starting
He's player? A free agent too.
Okay. Well, I
think he want to get
so
paid
pay
too.
Somebody.
Everybody want to get paid for their services.
Are you campaigning
No
again?
Way.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But that's the thing, Skip. But look, Mike McCarthy's resume is like, and that's the thing, Skip. Once you get that Super Bowl title, you know, Skip, once you get that on your resume, that's a game changer.
You're a made man.
That's how people...
For life.
People know him for, he's a head coach. They introduced Jeff Fisher. They said head coach of the NFL. Marvin Lewis, head coach. When they introduced Mike McCarthy, Super Bowl winning head coach.
That's mm-hmm. so true.
Or with a player, Super Bowl winning player. Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame. Skip, you get those adjectives before that. That's a game changer.
But that don't make him the guy. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I need to see his defensive staff.
Yep,
if I just close my eyes and I thought for a second, it's going to be Chris Richard calling the defense.
No, hell no.
That's going to happen.
No.
That's going to happen.
Chris Richard, did you see what he did last year?
I'm just telling you, he's highly thought of in that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Garrett was highly thought of in that organization.
I highly thought of Chris Richard until this year.
You did.
Who do you hire?
About him.
Well, if Marvin Lewis would come back and coordinate the defense, I would do it.
You want to?
How about I tell you what? I get you one. How about this here? How about Rex Ryan?
Okay.
What about old Rex?
His brother already went there and it failed. He got fired. They're like this. Huh. It's not happening.
Okay.
Good point. Okay. when you prepared for games to play against Mike McCarthy's offense, how did you view Mike McCarthy, or were you even thinking about Mike McCarthy?
It wasn't even really Mike. It was Aaron. Ability to control the game, his ability to get up to the line, change the plays, his ability to make incredible throws. But, I mean, I think Mike McCarthy is a great coach. It's to be determined.
Okay, but I think he pretty much went along for the ride that Aaron Rodgers took him on. I think in the end, that's what happened.
I mean, every great coach starts with great players. It's not about the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and the Joes. And we'll see. You got a different quarterback. It's a different style team. Mike McCarthy has been more of a pass first team. His knock is not being able to run the ball. They haven't.
And by the way, they never ran the ball except for one year. They were top 10 in rushing Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who ate his way out of the league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not super excited.
Yeah. Okay. So last Friday, you brought up the name Sean Payton, and I jumped up out of my seat.
Yeah.
Like, yes,
yeah.
I'll take that. But it's going to require a big blockbuster trade, two firsts and 2 seconds, and I don't love that.
Yeah.
And again, it's harder to sell Sean off last night when they sort of laid a big egg at home.
It should have been easier. He's like, we might not get it should have been easier to sell him because we can't get over the hump. There's 3 years in a row, Skip.
Okay.
But you said Super Bowl winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Head coach.
Yeah.
Plus, charismatic. Creates aura and energy and urgency. You just see him on the sideline and you're like, God, he's our coach. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's a guy. He's a made man mm-hmm. who actually can play the part, right?
But where's the charisma in McCarthy?
I don't even know what his voice sounds like.
Ain't no charisma.
It's
now.
Zero.
You ain't hiring him for no charisma.
What you getting? Offensive genius?
Right. Okay.
Well, I'm asking because everybody that is coming out of his tree, if you want to go back, Ben McAdoo, fired.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's kind of hard. Everybody, Adam Gase was a genius when he had Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the guy up in New England, Josh McDaniels is a genius. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't when he had Kyle Orton. He wasn't when he had Sam Bradford. Mm-hmm. He's only a genius with Tom Brady. True. So that's going to be interesting to see him removed from Favre, from Rodgers, mm-hmm. to see what he's like with Dak Prescott.
Yeah. TBD.
Which is why I don't hate this hire. But I don't love it.
Right.
And I promise you, in his introductory press conference, he will not make me come up out of my chair and want to play for him. Like
what if he
said,
I guarantee you we're going to win us a Super Bowl?
Well, he will not
say that. He got to say that. That's what I'm saying.
I would just be following suit. I mean, he'll be reading from his script.
That was it.
It'll be more like this.
Well, he gonna
say, Jerry said.
Well, you know, Skip, you know he's going to say, well, I'm here to win a, you know, I believe there's enough talent in this locker room, and I'm here to win a Super Bowl. That's what we play for. And I want all the guys to buy in that Super Bowl is our expectation. That's what he's going to say.
You want to know what that press conference is for?
Hmm. Jerry.
Sell hope. Hmm. At the top, it should say selling hope. Jerry said.
Yeah, well, everybody knows
what Jerry's going to sell is he won a Super Bowl in my building, and then he beat us in a playoff game at Green Bay, and beat us in another playoff game at Jerry World.
And he beat us a lot.
He beat us at Jerry World in a regular season game.
True.
Okay, so lot of success against Jerry Jones.
Since the Dallas quarterback is a free agent, does he get to bring Aaron Rodgers with him?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers would come with him.
He probably don't want Aaron.
No.
Right now, I'll take Dak over Aaron Rodgers. Well, I would.
Yeah.
In decline.
Will you tell Skip Aaron Rodgers is not in decline?
He is still that guy.
No, he's not.
He's still that,
Well, we're about to find out.
We are about to find out.
He's that dude. Oh, hold on. What you thought? You think Seattle going to beat them?
I do.
You realize that Mike McCarthy, time out. His last 2 years in Green Bay, they missed the playoffs because Aaron Rodgers could not take him places.
Man broke his collarbone the next year, and he played with a bum.
What did I just tell you? Last 4 years that Mike McCarthy ran the Packers and basically ran the offense, they finished an average of 17th in points scored and 17th in yards gained and 14th in points scored. That is mediocre.
But what I can say is that them last few years, the Packers O-line struggled to keep Aaron Rodgers clean.
Yes.
They struggled to protect him. I think he's inheriting a much better offensive line, but their style of football is just it's the only way they know. The tackles are bigger guys, kind of, you know, guys getting up there in age. The guard, Zach, phenomenal. The center, he's a great player.
Well, this year were top five in pass protection.
What are they going to do with the other guard, the left guard? Is it going to be Siofula or
Connor Williams?
Or what is it going to be? What style of team are they going to be?
Because he's more of a passer. Now, you got Zeke back there. Zeke need 250 touches. I mean, rushes, not just touches, touches.
To get
rushes.
They all need it. Jerry needed to get his money's worth. Mm. Hmm.
I'm sure he is a functional head coach. That's about all I'm
getting. Oh, damn, functional.
Yeah. Skip, that's the best
That's pretty bad. That's kind of
that's
what you call damning with faint praise.
That is
right?
Not good.
Functional.
Yeah, I'll go
that's
there.
That's the quote we're going to go with. Mm. Functional.
He's functional.
I hope he's not listening
to
that.
Well, he knows how to do it. You know, he knows how to set up practice
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Good from far, but far from good.
Yeah.
Right in the middle there.
Far from good. No mercy.
Derrick Henry led the league in rushing yards this season, and he didn't slow down against the Patriots in Foxborough. Henry racked up 182 yards and a touchdown on the ground, and he also accounted for 75% of the Titans' total yards in their 20-13 win. So, Reggie, are you seeing all-time greatness when you look at Derrick Henry?
100%. He is a big body running back in a finesse league, right? Mm-hmm. He's as big as a linebacker.
Sure.
I mean, it's Shannon Sharpe playing running back. That's what it is. That's what you're looking at.
Is he really?
Shannon Sharpe playing running back.
Is he really?
He's 250.
250?
Yeah. I'm 245.
You know, I think you're 260.
I'm 245.
That's 246
this morning.
That's Eddie George playing running back in this league right now.
He's bigger than Eddie George.
He is.
I mean, we saw in the last game against the Patriots, man, them safeties and linebackers did not want to tackle him towards the end of that game.
No.
When they were running the clock down, it was one corner. I don't know who he was, but he was running away from Derrick Henry.
He's like, I'm going to let you get to the sideline so I can push you out of bounds. This one right here.
That one right there. but he's built to last. He's built to go deep into the playoffs. He's built for the cold weather. He's everything that you want in a running back when you get to the postseason and when you're trying to make a push towards the end of the season to get to the playoffs or to win a division or whatever it is. So I do think he has Hall of Fame potential.
Wow.
I think he can be, you know, one of the best to ever do it. I mean, look at his size and his speed, what he brings to the game. It's just tough to tackle a guy like that. Yeah. He could block a defensive end probably by himself. That's how big he is, and that's what you get with him. And it's just, look, this game is going to be interesting against the Baltimore Ravens.
You got that right.
Because
it might be over in an hour, though. They might going to be running the ball. The clock ain't going to stop.
Exactly. I don't know if it's going to be a running clock. But, I mean, there's going to be so much running in that football game. This is going to be an old school, smash mouth, buckle your chin strap type football game. A lot of hard hits in the trenches. And I can't wait to see how it plays out. But, yeah, I love Derrick Henry. I love what he's bringing to this game right now. He's revolutionizing, not revolutionizing, but he's kind of bringing it back to that old school old school football look and feel again.
Skip, I'm not there yet. I need to see more. But I believe he's a top five back. Hey, Cleveland, did you watch what Tennessee did?
Ooh.
You got Nick Chubb.
Man.
You play through your running back when you got a guy like that, Skip. You see what happened was, and Reggie, you'll understand this. Derrick Henry is what we call, Skip, a long strider.
Yeah.
If you don't make him check his feet, if you don't make him change direction, he gets the ball, he goes one, two, three to the line of scrimmage, kiss the base.
That's it.
He's going to fall forward for 5 yards.
That's it.
Yeah.
If you notice, Skip, they did what the defense started doing, what we call on the offense side, mugging. They started putting Hightower in the A-gap.
Yeah.
Because now we want to make him cut back. We want to make him check those feet so we can get people there. Because if we let him get ahead of steam, Skip, the first half, every time he touches the ball, he's getting eight. He's getting the first down. I had never seen anything like that. I'm like,
Every time.
I mean, at some point in time, you got to get the guy, let him get 2 yards, not a first down. He's getting the first down on every carry.
Yeah, in obvious run situations, too.
Obvious run situations. But, Skip, they made it. See, there's a difference between running the football and having commitment to run the football. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel went in there and said, we're running the deep football. It's amazing that he could. Skip, they went down the field. He carried the ball 5 times for 50 yards, all of them.
All of them.
And didn't come out.
Yeah.
And so I'm like.
And then he caught one pass for 22 yards and took it down to the one.
Yeah.
Skip, he's so big, but he's faster than you think.
Because
he's a strider. Now, once he opens up, if you saw the last game of the season when they played the Houston Texans and the carry that he went, he passed Nick Chubb for the rush.
Yeah.
He went 53 yards, he went through the line, he stepped to the right, and he got going. You know, he got a 99-yard up on his belt.
He did.
So he got more, but Skip, I need to see more. But he's a top five back. When you think of back, I still like Saquon Barkley, Chubb, Christian McCaffrey. But don't throw Connell Zeke out. But Skip, Tennessee Titans are really the only team this year that committed. Say, Derrick Henry, run us home. And he did that.
They had Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. What else are they going to do?
Right. But, you got Nick Chubb, who led the league for rushing for the better part of 6 weeks.
I got it. Okay, I do appreciate your point. You need to see a little more.
Yes.
But it was significant that man went into that stadium against that coach who is known, who is notorious for saying, I will take away what you do best.
Yeah.
And he ran for 182 yards. You're kidding.
Nobody's done. I don't remember the last team to do that.
No, nobody's done that. So I told you yesterday, I'm watching thinking, this is a moose who runs like a deer. That's what he is. Because he ran 4.5 at the combine, but he even looks faster to me than that.
Does.
And you know speed.
Yeah. The game speed is different than that 40 speed.
Yeah, exactly.
Way different. I saw supreme game speed. I saw quickness from 250 pounds.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
250 pounds, who can, he's got a little wiggle in the hole, but he's like a bigger Eric Dickerson to me because Eric ran upright like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric was 225,
Yeah, 225, 230. But Skip, this guy runs the contact.
Yeah.
And that's, Skip, you know what, Skip, you ain't trying to tackle no defensive end, no late third and fourth quarter.
This late into the season, into the postseason.
It's cold.
Yeah.
No.
It's cold.
So
nobody trying to tackle like that, Nicole.
Sometimes the best trade is the one you don't make.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the Titans attempted to trade him at the trade deadline in 2018 and failed and hung on to him because at that point he was just their short yardage back behind Deion Lewis of the Patriots, right? And all of a sudden, he had the breakout game on that Thursday night. Remember the one against the Jaguars?
Yes.
And he ran wild on that. Yeah, he had the 99-yarder leading to 238 total. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he was off to the races.
But, Skip, the thing is with him, all you had to do was go back and look at him at Alabama.
Yeah.
His junior year, his sophomore year, Skip, he only had 172 touches, and he ran for 1,000 yards. Now, he had to split carries. Mm-hmm. Once he became the feature back, it's over 2,200, and he runs you to a national title.
And a Heisman, yep.
Yep.
Now, last year, you splitting carries with him and Deion Lewis. Skip, Deion Lewis is a great compliment.
Yeah, he is.
Throwing screen passes, you know, stuff like little gap. That guy needs touches.
He's a number one.
He needs 25, 30 touches a game for you to get the full benefit of it. And Mike Vrabel is, I love Mike Vrabel, because Mike Vrabel learned a lot. Because you see how he ran the clock down on Coach Belichick.
Oh, man.
The very thing that Coach Belichick do, find every loophole, and Coach and Mike Vrabel on the sideline, I will get you.
Bruh.
Hey, they loved it.
Take another penalty. Okay, start the clock again. Take another penalty. And then they jump off. So he takes almost 2 minutes off the clock.
He pulled it off.
Yeah.
Beat Coach Belichick, and well, Coach Belichick beat everybody up. The first time you can honestly say, Skip, Coach Belichick got out-coached in a game.
He did.
How often do we say that?
He got it.
But this time around against Baltimore, they're going to need to score more than 14 points to beat Baltimore.
Skip, this is a game you can appreciate. This old Big 8 football, this Nebraska-Oklahoma. They're going to run the ball. They're going to, oh, somebody getting 45 carries.
But I think we're going back far. I think this is Jim Brown football.
Yeah, somebody going to sleep in the trenches too.
They're going to be 80 carries probably between these two teams.
Yeah.
Because Baltimore going to run 45 times. Mm-hmm. Between the quarterback, Lamar, and Gus Edwards, and Hill, and Ingram, if Ingram's healthy, and you know he's getting it 30-plus.
Yeah.
It was also Henry's 26th birthday on Saturday. Ooh. Did you see that?
Oh, that's right. That was a storm. Right. You remember the storm? Oh, storm that had a storm up there, Henry. Remember what they call that storm? They had a storm that blew through that was named Henry.
Really?
Yeah, not Derry Henry, an actual storm.
No, they did. You know, you started to use the word revolutionary. I think we're heading there.
Yeah,
with him.
Yeah, it could be.
But Skip, because remember they said the running back, it's valued. The running back position is dead.
Valued, yep.
No. This not dude, when you see this.
When you see Lamar Jackson, you see what Baltimore, what they're doing.
Yeah.
Nah, you still need to run the football.
And that's why when we talked about Mike McCarthy, the state of the game is different, right? The game has changed. It's going back towards, we're seeing running backs and running quarterbacks start to slowly but surely climb and climb and climb. And that's where the state of the game is right now. So that's why it's perfect for a running back like Derrick Henry because of how big he is. And he's just as big or bigger than a lot of these linebackers.
And nobody practices tackling anymore.
Nobody.
So the first time you get to tackle somebody is on Sunday, and you got to tackle that.
Nah.
If he can go into Baltimore and take that game over,
whew. I know.
Nah. That's legendary. Ah.
How good are these games? Okay, I'm excited.
Wait, this is the game I'm looking forward to.
Right?
Me too. Yeah. No mercy.
Panthers owner David Tepper is all in on his first coaching hire. Tepper gave first-year NFL coach Matt Rhule a whopping 7-year, $62 million contract yesterday. And Tepper also had high praise for his new coach. He said that Rhule could be the Panthers' version of Chuck Knoll. Shortly after the Rhule news yesterday, the Giants are reportedly making Patriots special teams and wide receivers coach Joe Judge their next head coach. Judge has 3 Super Bowls under his belt with the Patriots, but neither coach has any head coaching experience in the NFL. So, Shannon, which was a more surprising hire, Rhule or Judge?
Judge, not even close. At least Matt Rhule can say I was a head coach. I built college teams, Temple. They had, 1-2 wins the first year, and then by the third year, they had, 10 wins. Same thing with Baylor. 1 win in first year, third year, he had 11 wins. So, he can say, well, I did build a college program. I did call plays. I was a head coach. I did oversee, everything that has to do with a football team. But the judge? I mean, Skip, Coach Belichick runs everything. Coach Belichick's special is special team. So, it's kind of like Coach Saban in the defense and DB, Skip. That's what he coaches. And it seems to me is that the Giants have really turned into, because you look at their hire, Skip, they went Ben McAdoo, Shermer, Joe Judge. I don't think anybody thought, that's who they should hire. I don't think anybody's looking at it like, wow, boy, they really hit it out the park with these. It's like they got it spot on with Coach Coughlin, and then after that, they're just like, whatever. I don't get this, Skip. I don't get Judge. I don't get Matt Rhule, but hey, I mean, and David Tepper, for him just to say he's going to be Chuck Knox. So is he going to draft 10 Hall of Famers? Because does he really understand what Pittsburgh had? Bradshaw's in the Hall of Fame, the center's in the Hall of Fame, the two wide receivers, and the running back, Franco.
Well, he's a longtime Pittsburgh fan, so, okay, so yes, he does.
Okay, yeah. So well, good luck with that. Because right now you might have one Hall of Famer on your roster, and that might be the linebacker, Luke Kuechly. So you got to get about eight more. Because this is his first hire as an owner, Skip, I believe he gave too many years, and I believe he gave too much money. But hey, if it's only that, if it's not your guy, and you have to get, and Skip, then he paid $6 million to buy out. He had to buy the guy out. So the $60 million on top of the $6 million that you paid to buy out, and the incentives can be pushed to a annual $10 million a year. Man, that's a lot of bread. But I hope he got it right. He said he's done his homework. He gave Ron Rivera a set number of wins that he wanted. Rivera didn't reach it. He fired him knowing that he was going to move on. So he started the process early. Hopefully he got everything he wanted. But I'm shocked at this judge hire in New York, Skip. I am shocked.
I'm even more shocked by Matt Rhule. And to your point about the new owner, Tepper, they hit it off personally. To the point that one of Tepper's quotes yesterday was that we're a lot alike. He, meaning Matt Rhule, dresses like you know what and sweats all over himself just like me. That's how I am. I dress like you know what and I sweat all over myself.
But the difference is...
And so they connected on that level. Sometimes that's what happens in these jobs, right?
I don't know if I'm a hire guy because he sweats. I don't know if, unless he's a personal trainer or something, you can get me sweating.
I've been telling you for 2 weeks, I don't get Matt Rhule. It seemed like a runaway media creation of a story. But I'm going to remind you, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly, the Giants were poised to hire Matt Rhule until he, at the last second, said, I'm not even going to come talk to you. They were going to hire him. I don't know if they had phone conversations, but it sounded like he was their number one target and that they panicked. These are the New York Football Giants.
Thank you. Cornerstone.
They panicked and said, okay, we'll take the special teams / wide receiver coach off the bottom of Belichick's staff.
Right.
What?
Yes.
You will?
Not Josh McDaniels.
No.
Or, well, obviously they weren't going to go with the D coordinator because that's his son of Jared Mayo because they're obviously too young. But you did him?
Him?
I don't get it, like I said.
If they had hired Aaron Judge to coach them, they'd have a better chance, right?
Maybe you're right.
There was a New York thing I couldn't figure out.
Come on, seriously?
Yes.
I have no idea. They're making Mike McCarthy look like Vince Lombardi.
And Skip, the thing is with Matt Rhule, why would I interview? What's the likelihood the Giants are going to be able to match as far as years and money?
Well, not after that.
Right, so ain't no sense. I ain't going to waste your time. Get on the plane and go somewhere.
So I'm going to say this again. I remain a huge fan of Urban Meyer. I know he works for our network, but that's not why I'm a huge fan of his. He won hugely at Utah, at Florida, and at Ohio State. He won national championships.
Right.
He's a guy, big guy. You know, he's that guy.
Right.
So if you hire Urban Meyer, it's a little high risk, but it's high reward because I would bet my money that Urban Meyer could win big in pro football.
Right. And Urban won, Skip, he won in two top five power conferences in all of football.
Right.
The SEC and the Big Ten.
He did. And he's coached in the biggest games in college football and won the biggest games
in
college football.
Correct.
I give Matt Rhule turning around Temple, but he did it in relative obscurity.
Right.
Nobody was tracking Matt Rhule at Temple. Nobody really cared on the national scene. Right?
No.
Okay. So then he goes to Baylor, and he takes over a scandal-racked program.
Right.
But listen, I have covered the Big 12 and the Southwest Conference for years and years, and I know it. Baylor can recruit.
Yes.
It's right in the heart of Texas. And trust me, going back to Mike Singletary, they have been an NFL pipeline at Baylor in Waco, Texas. Yeah. Look at the athletes they had on their team this year. They're loaded with kids.
Especially wide receivers.
I watch them because they have two wide receivers who are going to play on Sunday. Uh-huh. And the point is that, you can turn it around quickly because it was really great a couple of years before you got there.
Right.
They were a powerhouse.
Right.
So the cupboard wasn't bare. Right. Don't tell me it was bare. It was scandal rack.
Right.
We know all about all that.
Right.
And it cost the previous coach his job, as it right. well should have.
Correct.
Okay? But then Matt Rhule winds up in the biggest game of this year, which I'm going to watch because I'm a University of Oklahoma fan. He's got a home game against Oklahoma with a 31-10 halftime lead, and they blow it, and they lose at home. It's impossible, the loss that they took. What does Dave Tepper think of that?
Well, he reminds him of himself. He dressed like you know what, he sweats a lot.
Okay, so do you like that adversity that he fought through? Well, then he got another shot at Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, and I know it went to overtime, but he lost again. And then did he go shock Georgia in the bowl in the Sugar Bowl? Nope, he did not. Okay, so what did you do exactly to deserve runaway acclaim as the hottest? He was the hottest candidate on the market. Help me out.
Skip, I can't help you out. It's hard for me to imagine that the Giants were so enamored and blown away with his interview as opposed to Chris Richard. It's hard for me to imagine that, Skip.
No way.
He's a special teams coach that added wide receiver to his responsibilities this year. And
then what happened?
What? And Matt, Skip, like I said, at least, Skip, David Tepper says, well, the guy has been a head coach. He has overseen an operation day to day. Now, it's not the NFL. The NFL is a totally different ball game. But he has been a head coach. But a guy that has no head coaching experience, no coordinator experience, and he gets that job? I mean, you talk about the Giants and the Packers and the Bears. You talk about cornerstone franchise that they're supposed to get like Jerry says, we get whoever we want. Mm-hmm. The Giants is a franchise that should be able to get whomever they want.
Yeah. Well, they're going to get Jason Garrett as the coordinator, maybe?
Nah, if I'm Jason, You think I'm going to let that guy be my boss? Nah.
I read a report that was only true if it was for the head coaching job. It wasn't actually for the coordinator position.
Okay, so they just hired the equivalent of Daniel Jones as their head coach, right? Because Daniel Jones was a bolt out of the
blue. People were shocked that
saw it coming.
Yes.
Was he a little better than I thought he'd be?
Yes.
Yes, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. Is he the answer? I'm not so sold on that. But it came completely out of left field, and this came out of right field.
Skip, I don't get it. But I'm talking about all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Prior to him getting the job or you started hearing him, his name wasn't on the radar. I heard nobody mention
Nobody.
Judge. And now all of a sudden he's got the job at the Giants.
Yeah, I assume he had one thing and one thing only going for him. I'm pretty sure Belichick endorsed him.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was some conversation between somebody from the Mara family and Belichick.
Well, if that's the case, I'm saying, well, Bill, since you had endorsed him, how would you like this job? We give you 10 years and $150 million. Okay, $200.
Well, if Kraft sides with Brady, Belichick might be looking for another job.
But it's too late. It's too late now.
Yep.
They already hired the vacancies. No more vacancies.
Wonder if Cleveland is attempting to lure Belichick back to Cleveland.
Coach Belichick's only going back to Cleveland to coach against Cleveland. Yeah. He's never going back there.
I don't think he'll be going back there. I used to think Cliff Kingsbury was shocking, but not so much anymore.
Joe Judge is even more shocking than Cliff Kingsbury.
I know. I feel like it's up there. Let's think for a second.
Who's the most, as far as hire that you can remember to say the last 20 years for a head coaching job? There's got to be number one.
I'd have to comb back through my memory, but it's up there. I mean, I'm telling you, Matt Rhule's up there for me, as was Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm. But at least they can
what say, is this how league they, coming I, to?
And thank you. I mean, guys fail and they get promoted, fall upwards.
Yeah.
I didn't cover Baylor. I know a lot of people speak very highly of him, but even in his quote, it felt like the right fit, come in and build a program. That feels like college football to me.
It does.
This isn't a program.
This
is a franchise. Yeah. This is an organization. Even the quote, I'm like, no, this is the big leagues.
Right.
I don't know why, but
and
that
feels.
And
what a dream job he got, because they're talking about long term, so he's not on a short leash.
With 7 years and $60 million, I'll kick up. Hey, I can go 2-14, whatever.
What you going to do? Build slowly.
Yeah.
Build that program.
That ain't how it works in the NFL. No
mercy.
James is thriving in his comeback season, even getting some MVP buzz while playing alongside Anthony Davis. But while most of the narrative has been that the Lakers would run their offense through AD, some of the numbers tell a different story, really. An article in The Athletic points out that 73% of LeBron's field goals this year have come unassisted, a career high by far. Also, the King is currently third in running isolation plays behind only James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joins the show. Chris, what do you make of LeBron's approach really this year?
Well, I think those numbers you mentioned are emblematic of one of the challenges the Lakers have, and that's that you got one playmaker. That's LeBron.
Thank you.
And Kyrie, so 73% of his baskets unassisted. In Cleveland, you had Kyrie to make plays for him sometimes, Dwayne Wade in Miami to create for him. And where it's a problem is against the really good teams, particularly the Clippers, because it's tough enough when you're the lone playmaker on your team.
Right.
But then when you got a perimeter defense like Kawhi, Paul George, and Pat Beverly, that's very tough, and that's why they're looking to get a playmaker if they can to help LeBron. So I think that's the issue now. When LeBron said we're going to run the offense through AD, I think he meant it, and I think they're doing that. I think he meant AD is going to be the leading scorer. But we have to understand, running it through AD is different than if he said, we're going to run it through D-Wade or we're going to run it through Kyrie, because they didn't need a setup guy. Mm-hmm. So when they ran at times the offense through Wade or Kyrie with LeBron, LeBron was kind of standing over by the hash, by the hash mark, you know, watching. With AD, even if you run it through him, you got to make a post feed. You got to get him going on the break. You got to throw him an alley-oop. He's flashing across the lane. Whatever it is, AD needs a setup guy.
Right.
And that's what LeBron is. So, and I also think when LeBron said it, we know he's strategic. One of the most strategic athletes we've ever seen off and on the court. So when he said about AD, we're going to run the offense through you, I believe he was like, I got to build up this guy's confidence.
Okay.
Because I think you would agree with this, Skip. AD has a number one game, but he's not had the number one mentality.
Nope.
Maybe it's he was a late bloomer. You know, he grew a bunch his senior year or junior year in high school. At Kentucky, only averaged 8 shots a game, 14 points. So I think LeBron is like, I'm going to try to get this guy to be a number one, have a number one mentality to help me this year win a title. And then every year going forward, it's going to become more and more AD's team as LeBron gets older. He's not planning on retiring anytime soon, but he's going to get older and older, and I think he's going to become more and more AD. So I think he's trying to prepare him for that.
Okay.
Go ahead. You want to go?
I'm going to go?
Yeah, I want you to go.
Really?
Go ahead. Yeah, I want you to go.
Shocking.
I'll let you go.
I got blessed on this show by Shannon Sharp said here.
I'll let you go.
Important. You got to hear
you. You agree with everything I said, I assume.
I do agree with your final point. What LeBron said about playing through AD was just for psychological purposes. AD has never had the rub-off impact in New Orleans, never had it in New Orleans, that you would think a player of his PER stature should have, because he's the PER prince.
Right.
At the top of the list every year, not maybe one, but 1, 2, 3. And yet they were below 500 in his seasons there. Okay, so LeBron is saying, I got to build him up and keep him happy. And yet, to me, LeBron is pushing for one more MVP, maybe two more MVPs, because I still believe he needs accolades to catch Michael Jordan. He's not going to be able to catch him in championships. So he's saying, I need longevity records and I need big accolades such as an MVP at age 35. Karl Malone won one at 35. So you would tie him as the oldest to ever win an MVP.
Right.
And the key to me, there's one more stat, although that one about 73% of his baskets are coming where he just goes solo. Just goes, just says, my turn, right? But the key stat to me is LeBron James leads the NBA in fourth quarter shot attempts, leads the whole NBA. And guess who is 103 shots short of LeBron? Anthony Davis.
In the fourth quarter?
In the fourth quarter, LeBron James has taken 103 more fourth quarter shots than Anthony Davis, who ranks 51st on this list of fourth quarter attempts. Mm-hmm. Okay? What is that telling you? In the fourth quarter, LeBron just says, get out of my way. I got this.
Right.
And we've seen it not work against the Clippers, especially the first night against the Clippers when Anthony just got zonked in the fourth quarter. He came up zeros, right? And yet they're 21-0 versus sub-500 teams. So LeBron is just saying, hey, especially if we're playing a mediocre to bad team in the fourth quarter, I'm just going here because they can't stop me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get to the scoreboard, and I'm going to pile up some assists also. So he's putting up big numbers in the fourth quarter, and they're working because the overall numbers are pretty sensational. Right. Is he not in the MVP conversation?
Yeah, he's in it.
But he's not – he's not going to win it. I think he's got a long way to go to catch Giannis, Luka, assuming Dallas can start winning a little more, and Harden, even.
Harden as well.
Harden has been sensational. Yeah. He was again
9 of 34.
I'm just saying LeBron's probably fourth or fifth on the list right now, MVPs.
I think that what we're losing sight of is that when they say they're going to run the offense, they thought like LeBron was going to say, okay, AD going to go get 30 and 15, and I'm going to average 15. You have to realize, as you mentioned, Chris, there are no other playmakers. LeBron is not posting nearly as much because guess what? He's playing with two other bigs. No. So who you go? You got AD post, and you either got JaVale or Dwight Howard on the court. So LeBron loves space. If you look at LeBron points, they come in high, Skip. Threes, layups, free throws.
That's it.
So who the hell is assisting him on those? Because he's dribbling the ball, and he's pulling up from three. Or he's driving the ball. Very few times do they get him the ball in a situation where he's diving down the hole. He's normally putting a move, dribbling between his legs, getting to the basket on his own. But if you watch him, they play pick and roll. He and AD do a very good job. I don't think they do enough of pick and roll.
That is true. I agree with that.
But if you notice, Skip, he'll dump the ball down to AD and go clear to the other side. He's like, AD, do your thing.
Right.
But I just want y'all to know now, I'm going to let y'all do what y'all do for three quarters. If it ain't working for a quarter, your boy going to do what I do.
Mm,
okay. And that's what he been doing. He lead the league in assists, Skip.
Well, he is, because when he dumps down to AD and he goes and stands in the corner, AD often scores that basket, and you get an assist.
See, they've got to get AD going in the fourth, though.
Yes.
Because, again, against the Clippers, if you watch those two games, and not to me, it's the Clippers. That's the only team in the West that can beat them. That's the only team.
And the Clippers seem to only get up for don't get the Lakers for three rounds.
They do seem
so
that way.
You keep dilly-dallying around talking about Lakers, and somebody going to bust your head before you even see the Lakers.
That's fair. But if you look at those two games against the Clippers, the Lakers have led for the most part early in the game, mm-hmm. and even late into the third quarter, I think, in the Christmas Day.
Right.
And in the fourth quarter, it's been all Clippers.
It has.
So I think you got to get AD used to being dominant in the fourth quarter. And I do think there's some, and I don't fault LeBron for this, but I do think he's looking at his numbers, too. I don't know so much as to win an MVP. He may know that's going to be hard to do with AD on his team. But I think he wants those records. And I don't fault him. I mean, every great player wants records. But you can get to Kareem. You know, I think he does want those. Yeah. And so a lot of these games they have in hand in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And he's still putting up numbers because he's chasing those
records. Well, we tried to take a seat. Because we was up 22 at the start of the fourth quarter, and with 3 minutes into the fourth quarter, we only up 10. Right. And now all of a sudden, Frank Vogel got to put him in AD when they thought they were like, oh, we good. We only got 38, we only got 28 minutes, and LeBron and AD good for tonight. They end up playing 39 minutes in a game in which you was up 30. You can't do that.
Mm-mm. So, quick point about you saying Luke is probably ahead of LeBron in the MVP race. Mm-hmm. Luka ranks 54th in the NBA in shots attempted in the fourth quarter because he disappears a lot in the fourth quarter. And last night, in a nationally televised game against Denver, which has suddenly caught fire, Luka scored zero in the fourth quarter. Right. And they had the ball at the end with 15 seconds left, and he'd made nothing happen, and they turned it over. But he was 0 for 3 in the fourth quarter and 0 for 1 from the free throw line. And I watch him a lot, and I'm not seeing that guy in the fourth quarter.
He might be 51st in the fourth quarter, but he sure getting them shots in the first three quarters. He in the top one of those.
Nah, he's playing. And if they keep winning, that's the key for that. If their record is 50-plus wins, then he may finish ahead of LeBron.
I just think
LeBron's got the extra, having AD, it's just like Shaq and Kobe.
You know what we're going to have. I told you we will have more than 56 wins.
Oh, the Lakers.
I know we have more than 56 wins. Mm. So we got to do something. You have to make an adjustment now. Well, we somewhere like 60, 65 and
so 17. So you got LeBron as MVP right now?
No, I mean 65 and 16, 66 and 16. What are we going to do, Chris?
They going to win 65.
Hey, but
you have LeBron as MVP?
No.
I'm just asking.
Wait, he had him as MVP when he was at St. Vincent, St.
Yeah, I knew he was coming. I mean, he was a five-time MVP. He didn't play the NBA. But I'm saying, though, Chris, I mean, we 65 and 17, 66 and 16. Somebody's going to have to answer for this because everybody said we weren't going to win but 50 games. Mm. Maybe 48.
What's your record against the Clippers right now?
Skip, that's only two games.
0-2.
We got something for them at the end of the month.
Well,
that's going to be a big game.
We got something for them.
That's
going
to be a big game.
We got something for them.
Really? Well, you better.
I think you were saying that on December 23rd.
Yeah, we're going to do what the Grizzly did. You remember when the Grizzly put that 140 spot on?
Look, I picked the Lakers myself, so they need to put something on the Clippers.
I just want to know what the claw was with Jay Crowder put that 27-8-7 on him.
Well,
I got us a 10-6 guy, Chris.
Why don't you ask where Paul George was that night and where was Patrick Beverly because neither played. Well, they didn't. They didn't play.
Okay, what about when they played the Knicks?
He was load managing.
The Knicks.
Kawhi.
Knicks got 132. The Knicks ain't scored 132 in the last two games combined.
All they care about are the Laker games.
But you don't get the Lakers all three rounds.
But they not going to. It's the Clippers and the Lakers. That's it. And the Lakers got to find a way. They got to figure out a way to beat the Clippers.
Okay.
That's what
I'm
it's coming
down to. I'm still intrigued by the Rockets. I know.
Well, they give the Clippers issues. Trouble.
I know. They do.
But
it's going to be interesting.
We got them next Friday. Mm-hmm. We got some of James Harden next Friday.
Yeah. And by the way, Russell Westbrook load managed last night. He took the game off at Atlanta, as he should have.
And my guy, Trae Young, doing it.
So now you're mad
doing
at
it.
LeBron.
They got the worst record in the NBA.
That doesn't mean he's not doing it.
What?
There's different levels.
He's
of
an
load
all-star. He shouldn't be a starter. But looking at the East, all the injuries,
who should be a starting guard?
It should be Kemba and Jimmy Butler. I think they have Jimmy Butler listed as a front court player. He should be the starting off guard.
I would old Trae Young.
Kemba who got ejected last night? I don't know.
He was on swole. They lost to the Spurs.
Wait. The Spurs have been blowing out the Eastern Conference powers. Milwaukee and Boston away now? Woo.
Figured.
Y'all, the Spurs go. Go Spurs go.
You and Ashley.
I told you.
She out there saying, my NBA ticket's going out. Can you tell me the score between the Celtics and the Spurs? Ain't nothing wrong with your ticket.
Ashley works on our
staff. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, it's
from San Antonio, right?
Yeah.
You know what? At least you can be happy about that. Why not? Yeah. Chris, good to have
you. Wait, we see
for usual. No mercy. So reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are ready to host Deshaun Watson and the Texans on Sunday. Mahomes led the Chiefs to a 12-4 record this season despite missing two games with a knee injury. Meanwhile, Deshaun completed 80% of his passes last week in a 16-point comeback against the Bills in the wild card round. So, Shannon, who is the better QB in this game, Mahomes or Deshaun? Yep, that's the question.
I see all these cameras right here, so I ain't on candid camera. I ain't getting pumped or anything.
Not today.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Wait, I haven't spoken yet.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You already know the answer.
I haven't said a word.
You ought to be ashamed, though.
I do know that.
Why is he ashamed?
My homeboy.
Oh, do you want me to go
No,
there?
I don't want you to go. It's my homeboy.
Okay.
I want to make this abundantly clear. I want to make this crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. I want to make abundantly and crystal clear. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson is going to be the runaway MVP. If you say, Shannon, you get one quarterback moving forward, you can have one quarterback. Mm. Give me Patrick Mahomes, boy.
Mm.
It's not even close because he can do things we haven't seen, Skip.
Mm.
You know what? I said, Steve, I need you to pull something from me. Steve, my chief research, charge of research.
Steve Owens.
Yeah, he's charge of research operations. Yeah.
He won a Heisman, and he manages to prep you for this show. Yeah. I don't know how he does.
I said, we need to pull some footage. Yeah. Because I think people have forgotten just how talented he is because he didn't throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. DJ, can you drop that track? I got a little footage of my homeboy. It's showing you some things, Skip. You ain't seen anything like this.
Research.
Yeah. Look at this, Skip.
Mm.
Look at the effort.
Who caught it?
That's Kelsey.
Oh, wait. The best pass catcher tight end in football.
Did you see that jump pass? Did you see the jump pass?
Wait, who caught that?
Tyreek.
Oh, did you see him jump?
I'm glad you said that. Skip, did you know Tyreek Hill missed four games this year? And in the four games that he missed, my homeboy went 443, went 374, 343, and 321. Now, you say Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins caught I think he caught 8 balls for mm-hmm. $198 and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That was the first game of the season against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Guess how many touchdowns Sammy Watkins finished with on the season, Skip? 3. He had that in the first game. So don't sleep on my homeboy, because he's still doing it, Skip. Yeah. And like I said, what happened is that when you have a historic season mm-hmm. so early in his career, mm-hmm. every season that you play after that, that's why they say Aaron Rodgers is on decline, because he had a historically great season. He goes 45-6, so everybody thinks that's what that, No. That's one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. Mm. And that's what you see with my homeboy. Mm-hmm. Skip, the throws that he can make, there are not any quarterbacks. I mean, he's a combination that he has the accuracy of throwing on the move of mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, but he has the arm of an Elway and a Favre to throw the ball over the top of your head. Athleticism, you see him rush for a couple of touchdowns late in the season because everybody dropping off. He's like, he turbos on him. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. Mm. I like Deshaun. Deshaun Watson is a proven winner. He can extend plays, and it's just not good enough to get there.
Mm.
As Buffalo found out, Skip, they had the perfect defense call, perfect blitz.
Yep.
And guess what happened? They didn't get him on the ground. Mm. So I'm not trying to diminish him. But if you want to say, Shannon, you get one quarterback, give me Patrick Mahomes.
Mm. Your argument to me is as clear as broken glass, because I'm about to break all the glass that you just blew all over the table. If you give me one of those two quarterbacks to go forward and win games, I am taking Deshaun every Monday, Sunday, Thursday. Give me Deshaun Watson any day over Patrick Mahomes, because Deshaun clearly has stronger winners in tangibles. Deshaun Watson will make far more plays with his arm and his legs and his heart and his guts and his will than I have seen Patrick Mahomes make. And I give you, he's got the bigger arm, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't make more plays, because all I really need to show you is just one stat. I'll just close the case right here. So Patrick Mahomes has played 33 career NFL games as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
He has 3 fourth quarter comebacks and 4 game-winning drives.
Right.
Deshaun Watson has played 40 career games, so not that many more, 7 more career games. But he's got 9 fourth quarter comebacks and 11 game-winning drives, and that leads the NFL over the last 2 years. Nobody is close to doing what he does over the last 2 years.
Did somebody else start those games and he come in? Because if he started that game, he's the reason they're behind.
Oh,
okay. And then my homeboy don't get behind.
So, do you remember what Dabo said before Deshaun was drafted?
I do.
Okay. He said, if they pass on Deshaun Watson, they're passing on Michael Jordan. This year, before John Gruden played Deshaun Watson, what did he say? I see Michael Jordan. I'm talking about game-saving, game-winning plays that you make athletically or just with your will, with your spirit, whatever that thing is that's inside Deshaun, I will take it any day and I will beat your guy with it. And your guy, let's be clear about this, no quarterback in the history of the NFL has ever fallen into a more advantageous situation
Dak
than Patrick.
Prescott.
Stop it.
Dak
Stop
Prescott.
It.
Dakota Rain. Prescott.
Did they trade up to get Dak Prescott? No, they traded back to get him.
Dak was in the fourth round, but you said.
Well, I'm just saying, they kept saying, we want this guy and we missed on him, so I can't remember all the guys
Patrick
they wanted.
Lynch.
No, but then they wanted.
What, they wanted Johnny
Michigan State.
Oh, Connor Cook.
Connor Cook.
Oh, Cook, yeah.
You know, so they. We want this guy. We missed on him. Somebody took him.
No.
So we wound up with the fourth round guy.
But
so
you,
don't tell me it's a similar circumstance.
No, you said no quarterback has landed in a more favorable situation where you get Zeke Elliott.
Okay,
you get
stop
the top offensive line.
You're trying to change the subject because you know I'm going to really burn you with this one.
Okay.
Andy Reid traded up to take Patrick Mahomes with the 10th. Pick, by the way, Deshaun went 2 picks later, 12th, okay? And they did trade up to get him, but still, it's a very different circumstance because Andy Reid has done everything in his power, and he is one of the great play callers in the history of this league. He does have offensive genius about him. Andy Reid does, you know it, and I know it. He's done everything in his power to make Patrick Mahomes look great. Patrick Mahomes is like the classic case of the spoiled rich kid who gets everything you want. You want this? Oh, we'll get you this. You want? Oh, well, we'll get you that. How about the tight end that he has? How about Travis Kelce? Is there a better route running, pass catching tight end in pro football than this guy? There's not.
George Kittle right there.
Okay, but I don't think so. I'm talking about a wide receiver of a tight end who can make acrobatic leaping catches and has not good hands. He's got great hands. You want to talk about the ultimate security blanket that Patrick Mahomes, when in doubt, he can just look for 87 and throw it in his vicinity, and he'll probably catch it. And I got to look up the name here. Oh, yeah. What's his name? Oh, yeah. You ever heard of Jordan Atkins? That's the answer at tight end that Deshaun has. So
they got fails.
Jordan asked, yeah, but this guy caught the most balls of the tight ends. He caught 36. Travis Kelce caught 97 balls this year. Mm-hmm. And that leads me back to Tyreek. Is Tyreek? Boy, that's pretty. How about Sammy Watkins? You mentioned him. How about Mecole Hardman? How about DeMarcus Robinson? How about Byron Pringle? Every time I look up, they got another speed burner at wide out.
If you don't mind me asking, is DeAndre Hopkins any good?
Yeah, he's about it.
What about William Fuller IV?
Okay, is he going to play this weekend? I doubt
it.
Fuller. Okay.
No. He's not playing this week.
Okay.
But he's had it.
And then Kenny Still.
Yeah, Kenny Still any good?
Okay, so you don't have any tight end of any note.
Oh, okay. But
no tight end of any note.
But you were trying to make it seem
okay,
like.
Okay, DeAndre Hopkins is basically sort of a possession type receiver. He doesn't run by people.
He ran by New England. He sure ran by New England twice.
He's not a speed burner.
No, no.
He's not. Tyreek.
Well, there's nobody
okay.
Tyreek.
All right, well,
Mecole
thank
Harmon
you.
Is not Tyreek.
Thank you. And then Kansas City is one of the more stable, perfectly run organizations.
Yes.
You can trust day after day what they're going to do.
Fair.
I don't know what's going on with the dysfunction down in Texas because that they don't even have a GM anymore.
Right.
Now Bill O'Brien is supposedly totally in charge, and I got to tell you, if Deshaun Watson hadn't made one play late against Buffalo last weekend, yeah. I'm pretty sure Bill O'Brien would have lost his job because that would just be too many disasters after you win the division or have a home playoff game, right?
Right.
And so if we could see that play that Deshaun saved the day on, this is just so vintage. This is Jordan-esque. I don't think anybody's Michael Jordan, but boom, boom, escape, completion, 45-yard gain, 40-yard gain, I guess it was.
I mean,
it just
how
won
he
the
got
game.
Out of that.
It saved the game, and it won the game. He got rocked on one side, and then he got rocked on the other. He's actually kind of fortunate because he got rocked and got stood
and
back up. Okay? So, but that he has done that consistently. What did I say before he got drafted? All you had to do is look back at the two games against St. Nick's defense, Nick Saban's defense, in back-to-back national championship games. First one a loss, second one a win. But listen to the numbers against St. Nick's defense. He throws for 405 the first game and runs for 73. That was four touchdown passes, and they lose by five. Mm-hmm. And the second one, he throws for 420 and added 43 yards rushing and hit Hunter Renfro with 1 second left to win the game, 35-31. That's just Jordan-esque in both games. And to me, if you put Deshaun in the Andy Reid system, you'd have unbeatable.
Well, the thing that – the knock that I will – and if there is a knock – I just think that Deshaun holds on to the ball entirely too long.
Okay, because sometimes they don't protect him and sometimes people can't get open.
But
he's just going to figure a way to beat you.
But Skip, some of those sacks, anytime we see a quarterback take a sack, we automatically assume it's the offensive line's fault. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Deshaun holds on to the ball too long. He subjects himself to hits that he shouldn't take. And over the course of time, those add up. I'm not saying Deshaun isn't good. But that guy right there, Skip, you do realize.
Who's tougher physically? What have you seen? What's been displayed for you?
My guy dislocated his kneecap.
On a quarterback sneak.
After 3 weeks.
In the history of football, nobody has ever gotten hurt on a quarterback sneak except that guy.
He had a knee like popped it back in place. I'll be back in 3 weeks.
I don't know. There's always some knick-knack injury that he's fighting through.
All I know is 4,000. 26-5.
All I know is he lost two straight home games, and I don't know how.
Hold on. Well, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Tom Brady lose a couple of home games too?
Okay, now we're changing the subject. It's a classic case of, Are we doing Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes?
No, because he's not in.
But you make it seem like losing two straight home games is a bad thing. So losing to Miami to close out the season and then losing to Tennessee, now which is worse?
And, you know, I give you that Patrick Mahomes has a huge arm, but you know what whose arm is underrated is Deshaun Watson's. Yeah. It is rocket arm.
Give me you saw my homeboy throw the ball out of Arrowhead. Stand in the middle of the field and just throw it over the wall.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Does that win? Did they win that game that day?
So if we need to throw a 70-yard Hail Mary, we got it.
Yeah, you got it. I'm taking Deshaun all day and all night. I will win more games long-term.
I ain't going to be able to do that.
It's going to be a good game. I have a feeling this one is going to be good.
Watch my homeboy, Skip. He's going to show you why he's special.
Well, he's got a special football team. He's got a better defense. He's got the most special receiver core in pro football.
But you make it seem like Deshaun throwing the slouches.
Well, he's throwing to one really good receiver, and that's about it. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.